Today we are in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49. But before we jump into that, I want to give you some context for the passage. Jesus has been preaching to a multitude about various things. And he started giving brief illustrations or parables in verse 35. The parables were about servants and masters. First, he talked about servants whose master was away at a wedding. Jesus said the servant should be diligent to watch and wait for the master's return. And if they would do that, the master would bless them when he arrived. Next, Jesus spoke of a master and a thief. If the master of a house knew when a thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the thief to come in. Then Jesus spoke of a servant who uses his master's absence as a license to sin. If he thinks, my master is delaying, he's not going to come back for a while, so I'm going to be violent to the other servants and I'm going to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come when he least expects it, and the master will put him to death. These illustrations were about Jesus himself and the coming judgment that he would bring. Leading up to that judgment, Jesus' disciples should stay patient and watchful. If so, they would be blessed. But if they use that time to become wicked, then they would be judged harshly. That is the immediate context of our passage today. We're picking right up where those parables left off. And Jesus will elaborate on this theme of judgment. Verse 49, Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. That might sound bizarre and a little shocking. Jesus came to send fire on the earth, and apparently he was eager to get it started. What does Jesus mean when he says this? Well, think back to Luke chapter 3 with John the Baptizer. What did John the Baptizer say about Jesus? He said, I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me will baptize with fire. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John said that Jesus would baptize with fire and burn the chaff, meaning the wicked. I think that's the same fire that Jesus mentions here in Luke 12. The fire Jesus will send is the fire of judgment against the wicked. And Jesus wanted that to happen. He knew that it must happen. But something else had to happen first. Verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Jesus had a baptism to go through, and he was distressed about it. So he was eager for the fire judgment, but he was distressed over the baptism. What did Jesus mean by baptism here? We know that he had already been water and spirit baptized by John, so he was speaking of something different. In the Bible, baptism is usually done by water. It is a ritual where water is placed onto you from above. But there are a few places where baptism is used as a metaphor for something else. John the Baptizer described the coming judgment as a baptism of fire, meaning fire would be placed upon the earth. In Mark 10, Jesus uses baptism to refer to his death, his crucifixion. He said, are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And there, both sacraments are used to refer to his crucifixion, drinking the cup and baptism. Jesus means the same thing in Luke 12. At the cross, the sins of the world would be placed upon him. His blood would be shed from head to toe. We might call it a baptism of death or a baptism of blood. That is what had to happen before the fire. And that's what Jesus was distressed over, which is understandable, isn't it? As a man, Jesus was not looking forward to the agony of the cross. None of us would. None of us like to suffer, even when we know that it is necessary. Starting in verse 51, Jesus says what is no doubt the most shocking thing in the passage. "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Jesus didn't come to give peace. Isn't he called the Prince of Peace? When he was born, didn't the angels sing peace on earth? Now he says he didn't come to bring peace, but division. Even division within households. Fathers against sons, mothers against daughters, and so on. This is ironic, given that one of John's purposes in preparing the way for Jesus was to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. To turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. But Jesus says he came to bring division in the family. That's not something we expect Jesus to say. So how do we understand this? Was Jesus contradicting all of those passages about peace? Well, no, he wasn't. It is true that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but he only brings peace to those who trust in him, to those who have faith in him and who follow him. He is a man of peace, but that doesn't mean that everyone wants his peace. When peace arrives in the midst of sin and despair and death, it will divide. It will be noticeable. You will either be with the man of peace or you won't be. In the context of the passage, Jesus is talking about the wicked, the thieves, the servants who don't obey their masters. He's talking about those who will receive the judgment. He has not brought peace for them. He brings peace for his people, the church, the people of God. If you are not on board with the church, then he has not brought peace for you. This naturally means that there will be conflict between people, even between family members, between those who hear the good news and want to follow Jesus and those who reject Jesus. Two different kingdoms are represented in this division. One is the kingdom of life, the other is the kingdom of death. One is a kingdom of peace, and the other is a kingdom of strife. This is the classic division between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, going back to Genesis 3. Are you with God or not? Are you a child of Abraham by faith? Or are you a child of Satan? The family unit is actually a perfect analogy for what was happening in the first century. Separate families would have division in their homes, but corporately, think about the family of Israel as a corporate body, so concerned with heritage and bloodline. Israel would be divided. Israel would be broken up between the faithful Jews and the unfaithful Jews. And the coming judgment for them was the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Fire would literally come upon Jerusalem, destroying the temple with the new covenant in full swing. The Jewish remnant would be victorious, but the wicked Jews would be defeated. One of the things we learn in this passage is that Jesus is not afraid to judge. A judgment must be made to separate the wheat from the chaff, right? And it's a black and white issue. There is no middle ground. You are either with him or you are not. It is that simple. And not only is Jesus not afraid to judge, he's eager to do it. He's eager to judge. He says, "I wish the fire was already kindled." Is that the image of Jesus that you have? One who is eager to judge? Jesus is not soft on sin. Yes, he is long-suffering and merciful, but when the iniquities have added up with no repentance, then he is ready to come with vengeance. As we've already mentioned, Jesus isn't afraid to wreak havoc within your family. We're not used to hearing that, are we? That's not how Christians usually talk about the family. Doesn't Jesus want the family to be happy and whole and loving? Yes, of course, but it has to be on his terms. The family unit does not exist for its own sake. Each member must be devoted to Jesus, or else there will be division. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is a man of peace, but that means he must make war with whatever threatens peace. He is a man of love, but he must hate that which threatens love, that which violates love. All sin is a violation of love. All sin is a violation of peace. Being loving and peaceful does not mean turning a blind eye to sin. It means hating sin and going to war with sin. And sometimes you have to go to war to maintain peace. Sometimes you have to hate to maintain love. If the judgments of Jesus sound offensive to you, if this startles you in some way, don't see it as Jesus being a meanie or something like that. You have to see it as a part of his love and as a part of his compassion. It's the compassion of Jesus that brings division, because the division is for your salvation. The division is for your salvation. It is for the collecting of the wheat into the barn. Without this division, you could not have salvation. Do we always like division? Is it always comfortable? No, most of the time it isn't. But the division that the gospel brings is not negative. It is positive. It is God's means of salvation. It is the way in which you have life. As baptized Christians this morning, God has blessed you. He has called you from out among the world. He has placed his name upon you. He gives you a special meal. Each of those things divides you from the unbelieving world, the world that is under his judgment. Be thankful and rejoice that Jesus brings division. Finally, Jesus gives another brief parable in verse 54. Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, "A shower is coming." And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, "There will be hot weather." And there is. Jesus was saying, you guys know how to predict the weather. You see the signs and you can make accurate conclusions. But then he said, "Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time?" This time is the time that Jesus has been describing, the time of division that leads to the fire. The Jews were not interpreting the times. They were unaware. They were blinded. It might seem weird to call them hypocrites over this, but what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone who violates his own standards. Someone who does the right thing in one area, but doesn't do it in another area. Jesus said, you guys know how to read the signs. You do it with the weather, but you're not doing it with this. You're not doing it as it pertains to God's judgments and the division that the Messiah brings. It's in that sense that they were hypocrites. So how do we apply this passage to us today? Jesus was talking about a judgment on Old Covenant Israel, and we believe that already occurred in the first century. But these warnings are relevant to us, both as individuals and as a body, because there will be a final judgment. There will be a last day. Jesus will return, and the wicked will be thrown into the lake of fire. But we don't know when that day will be. So, what are you supposed to do in the meantime? In the meantime, you must be diligent to watch and wait. You must walk in obedience. You cannot use Jesus' absence as an excuse to sin. You cannot use his absence as an excuse to sin. If you do, you might be facing the flames. That's the warning. And what about your personal judgment day? The day you die. Any of us could die at any moment and face God's judgment, going to heaven or hell. Is your heart right with God today? Are you living righteously? You are a seed of the woman. Don't become a seed of the serpent. Jesus is still in the business of dividing. We see this on a cultural level. In our culture, wickedness has become bolder. It is out in the open. It is proud, which makes the division between us and them that much more obvious. Jesus still divides families. He divides friendships. Don't be troubled by this. Be grateful. Be grateful for it. It is the only way that we can be saved. When the divisions become apparent, who will you stand with? You must stand with Jesus, and not with the relative or the friend or the celebrity or the politician who rejects him. And that division shows who is with Jesus and who is not. If you are, let's say you have a situation in your home right now, right, between husband and wife or whatever the case may be, okay? The division that you are going through, the tough things that you are going through, are exposing you as the true child of God as you remain faithful. Be grateful for the division. Like Jesus, we must be people of peace. We must be known for our love. But that means that we will hate sin and fight against sin. The world says, to love me, you must love my sin. Or to have peace with me, you must be at peace with my sin. And we have to say, no, I hate your sin because I love you. I hate your sin because I love you. We have to say, no, I will fight sin because I want peace. And how do we fight sin? Well, of course, it's not with violence. But with water, bread, and wine, with music and singing, with liturgy and prayer, with proclamations of God's law and his gospel. The fight starts right here in church. This is where your desires and your love and your peace is to be shaped. It's where your hatred of sin is to be strengthened. And then those things are extended out into the world as you bear light in the dark. You cannot be a hypocrite to do this right. You cannot be a hypocrite. You cannot point your finger at the world when you secretly love the ways of the world. Do you realize how wicked your sin is? We all have different sins. Do you realize how wicked yours is? If you start thinking, well, I'm not as bad as this guy over here. At least I didn't do this. That's the wrong mindset. That is the wrong attitude. Jesus isn't soft on sin, and neither should you be. When you repent, you are forgiven, and you should rest in his mercy. but don't use his mercy as a license to sin. Do not use his mercy as a license to sin. Do you have the wisdom to judge the times in your own life? Are you blind to areas in your family that need attention? Parents, especially fathers, be critical. Take inventory of what's going on in your home. Are there areas that need correction? Are there areas that need improvement? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't settle for a false love and false peace. Don't say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's like the false prophets in Jeremiah 23. They say, everything's okay, it is well with your soul, when it's not. Go to war for the sake of your soul, for the sake of your family and your kids, and for the sake of your culture. When John the Baptizer prophesied that Jesus would baptize with fire, he also said that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he came with fire. Fire rested upon the heads of the disciples. As it turns out, Jesus had a fire judgment to cast down, but he also had a fire of blessing to cast down. A fire that refines, the fire of the Holy Spirit. We all go through fire, whether believer or unbeliever. The righteous and the wicked both have fire cast upon them. One to blessing, one to judgment. Keep going through the fire of blessing. Keep going through the fire of refinement. Don't compromise your faith and end up in the fire that destroys. Stay with the fire that gives you life. Stay with the fire that keeps you divided from the wicked.